Hey, Art.
Hey, Kyle.
What did we just watch?
Rogue One.
A Star Wars Story.
Yes, we did. What did you think?
I loved it. I thought it was a fun, action-packed thrill ride.
Had kind of a slow start, but it was indeed a very good space opera.
Yeah. So spoilers start now.
And I guess we should get to the first spoiler as to why I am here.
Yeah, why isn't Lincoln here today?
From what I heard...
For the biggest movie of the year.
He went to go celebrate a holiday party down at Willie Farkle's and got in a fight and got his ass knocked out. That's what I heard. That's the word on the street.
I think that was in the paper.
Yeah. Disorderly conduct. An argument over, you know, corn nuts or something.
It seems convenient because he's just telling people I slipped on stairs on the ice. That's like the I fell down some stairs argument, right?
Right, yeah. And but there's nobody that could domestically abuse him other than his mom.
But she could take him, dude.
Yeah. He would be dead if that was the case.
Maybe Mercedes did it?
I would hope so.
Steal his identity? She's gonna like skin him and wear him and become Lincoln?
There'd be a lot of room to move her.
She's pretty tall.
I'm just saying he's rather rotund.
Nah. He's all grass fed now. He's fine. So seriously though, Lincoln's fine. He'll be back. He does have a concussion.
Concussed.
He is concussed.
From what we hear.
He is medically concussed. He'll be back at some point, but you know, I think he just didn't like you guys and he was like, fuck Star Wars.
I hope that's not true because it was such a great movie.
It really was.
So let's kind of put this in a little perspective and spoilers.
It's Star Wars. Alert. If you care, you've watched it already. It came out a couple days ago.
So this movie introduces so many characters into the Star Wars canon that did not exist before in any of the movies. Why do you think they did that, Kyle?
Well, I mean, for the end, really?
Because they just killed them all off.
Yeah, big spoiler. Everyone dies in the end of this movie. The main reason is because it takes place before a movie that was made in like 1977. And if you had established character, like they're going to obviously be 30 years older. It wouldn't work. You would have to like do some stupid Uncanny Valley thing with like Leia. Glad they didn't do that. You know, like Tron had that, the Tron Legacy. It looks good, but then something's not right when they do show Leia at the end.
Well, I think they did take advantage of the various holes of episode 4 and tried to prep for that, and it made a lot of sense.
Yeah, they finally did explain some stuff in the film universe. They've explained in books and stuff. Like,
I'm not a nerd. I don't read that shit.
That concussed ass Lincoln told me this on the phone.
He probably made it up.
Probably. He doesn't even know where he's at. He thinks he has a dog named Samson.
Spoiler alert. Lincoln's having trouble with reality right now. He's heavily medicated and confused. So if you see him on the street, you need to redirect him back to his house.
So yeah, like the big one everybody had from episode, I hate calling it episode 4, from the original Star Wars was, why the fuck do they put a big fuck me light that'll blow up the Death Star? Well, they give a very valid and good reason in this of why that's there. Why does James Earl Jones sound kind of off when he talks? It's because he's been dead for years. They still use the James Earl Jones voice for Vader in this.
Right.
It just sounds off. It's almost as off as like Forrest Whitaker's eyes.
Oh. Yeah, I was like, I didn't know who was in this film at all. And I was like, is that Forrest Whitaker, Kyle? I only knew it until I finally saw his right eye.
Yeah, this dude pops up. I do like Forrest Whitaker.
No, he's great. And I think he did a pretty good
job. He reminded me of something out of the new Mad Max in this. In this movie, his character was basically like Vader without the money and resources. Like he was all half metal. He had to use oxygen.
Right. I got some Vader vibes from him, but he was more of a soldier. Like we didn't get any Force vibes from him.
He was kind of crazy. He was like his character in Predators.
He was also like his character in Ghost Dog. Have you ever seen that?
No. What the hell? Ghost Dog. Oh, okay. I was thinking like a ghost dad, but with a dog.
Passenger pigeons. Okay. You need to see that movie. You haven't seen that movie?
No, but when you said it, I immediately thought like Talking Dog movie.
Like
with a ghost.
Jim Jarmusch directs it. Forrest Whitaker's in it. And Wu-Tang does the whole entire soundtrack.
Okay.
It's awesome.
All right.
Art DeFuente went up the film, guys. All right, so Kyle, who is the guy that this whole entire movie revolves around?
The, like, evil guy?
No. We don't know if he's evil. We don't know if he's good. He's a scientist.
Oh, her dad.
Right. Galen Erso.
Played by fucking Mads Mikkelsen.
And, all right, he finally got a good guy part, but he's portrayed as a bad guy the whole entire time.
Yeah, they're trying to kill him because they think he's a bad guy. So right. He can't even be a good guy without people just assuming we got to fucking kill him. Because basically he was a rebel that was kidnapped by the Empire to build the Death Star.
Well, without Lincoln here, I think that he originally worked for the Empire with good intentions.
Yeah, and then he was like, fuck this.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, you guys are way too fascist. You're going to be leading by terror, which was a big thing in the movie.
They were building a planet-exploding laser weapon. What did he expect? What did he think they were doing?
So the movie opens with him, and we don't know him from Adam at the beginning of the movie. They're just like on this. It looked like Norway.
It might have been Norway.
We find out that he's a farmer.
It's reminiscent of Luke with his aunt and uncle.
Right.
We don't know if they were moisture farmers, but they were farmers on, not Jakku, Jedha.
No, they weren't on Jedha. Jedha they weren't on Jedha. Planet.
There was a lot of planets mentioned in this. A lot of I don't know. They were on a planet. Bad dude that looks like Roddy McDowell came down, and his little daughter, like the new little Rey. She reminded me a lot of Rey from Force Awakens.
Yeah. I got that vibe as well, but when we see her as a kid, and so anyways, the Empire comes in. Who is that one D-bag?
It's
very
like
Nazi.
Krillin? We're totally looking these up on our
Krennic.
Krennic. There's a lot of names. I can't remember.
Basically, in this movie, we've got Nazis and we've got good guys.
Well, that's pretty much Star Wars. Yeah.
So this guy comes in. He's looking for Jim Irsay and
his family to bring him back
to finish the Death Star. And so that's where it opens up. And then, you know, Jin runs away and hides, and Forrest Whitaker comes and saves her.
He's like, come on, child. Come with me. His name's Saw. Saw Gerrera. Or Gerrera.
Saw Gerrera.
Kind of a badass name. He doesn't do shit, but it's a badass name.
So the one thing I didn't get was it took me a while throughout the movie that, because then like the next scene is just Jin. She wakes up in an Imperial jail.
She's just in jail. We don't know why, really.
But apparently, as the story unfolds, she was actually fighting with Gerrera, right?
No.
No, like before, she had been in his faction.
Well, he left her behind.
Yeah, when she was 16. So, how old was she at the beginning? Like 4 or 5?
Something like that, yeah, because she can't be...
It was like 11 years that we missed out on.
Yeah, because she hadn't seen her dad in 15 years. I think she was just like a lone wolf rebel, just doing her own thing, Han Solo in it.
Hiding her identity, not knowing where her father was.
Just assuming he was dead.
Because that made it easier to deal with the pain. So we've got a lot of Star Wars themes going on here.
You know what Star Wars theme we didn't get, though?
What's that?
The Star Wars theme.
Oh, yeah. Didn't hear it at all.
Closing credits.
At the very end.
Which makes sense. We'll get there. But yeah, the Rogue One had its own theme, which is... We know this is, you know, like a side plot. There was no opening text scroll. It didn't have that traditional Star Wars opening.
It started with the text like that, and we were expecting it, and then it didn't happen. It just cuts straight through. So after the whole being in jail Jin thing, after that
she gets out, or the rebel alliance breaks her out
because she was on her way to a labor camp. That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So they break her out because they're like, yo, this pilot flew in, your dad's still alive, yo, we gotta find him, but we need you to find Saw Gerrera so that he can tell us where they are. And she's like, oh fuck no. And I'm like, yeah. And then the side dude that was like, I couldn't understand him, he was like just a desperado.
Right, yeah.
His accent was hard to understand at first.
Well, let's take a step back. We'll get to him in a minute. But when she is liberated from the labor camp, Hank or whatever, we're introduced to our
Cthulhu.
First droid, right?
Yes, K2SO. That one I remember for some reason.
And
he was our C-3PO proxy for the film.
Right. He is inappropriate and funny and pragmatic. He was like, I don't trust any of these people. And she tries to kill him first time she sees him. And like that relationship was like kind of the ongoing gag throughout the film.
Yeah, he was the comedic effect in this that I think worked. It wasn't like Jar Jar. It wasn't annoying as fuck.
Well, Jar Jar is not annoying. He's a lovable character that opens Star Wars up to another generation.
Shut your whore mouth right now.
That's how I feel.
Ugh.
And I'd say that's how most fans feel.
I wouldn't say it's how most fans feel at all. Maybe younger fans. I know one person that legitimately likes Jar Jar.
And who's that?
She's a heavy drinker, though, so we can't judge her. She's going to yell at me for that, but that's okay.
All right. So then we're introduced to the other good guy, who I would say is the Han Solo.
Cassian,
yes.
Played by Diego Luna.
What else was he in? He looked familiar.
I don't know. Yeah, he's really the Han Solo, because he kind of does his own thing. He gets his own orders.
He's got like a little beard and a mustache.
And this movie really portrays the rebels as... It's not just like we're fighting the good fight all the time. We're friends with everybody. They're like, Saw Gerrera, he could be dangerous. You need to fucking kill him.
Right, yeah. And then it shows that nobody was unified.
At all.
Right, all these other little factions. There's like, yeah, we don't like the Empire, but there's different politics at play. And
yeah, there's the Rebel Council really is at odds.
They don't know what to do.
Mon Mothra, she's like, I don't fuck. Just throw my hands up. Jesus Christ, I haven't aged in 30 years. So they find her dad, or they find out where he's at. I may have skipped a scene, I don't know. They find out where he is at, is like Edu,
yeah. He's on this rainy planet, Edu.
It's a shithole planet.
But they were, we forgot the whole entire temple scene.
Oh, God, the temple.
Stealing the fucking crystals out of the temple. Jen has a crystal around her neck the whole entire time. This would be a good time to start talking about the fact that there is no Force Jedi shit throughout this whole entire movie.
No Jedis, no lightsaber battles. You do see a lightsaber. Where I really loved the way this movie approached the Force, though. It was solely a religion, really, in this film.
Right.
I thought that was fantastic. I just loved it. This is a blind guy, played by Donnie Yen. So, of course, he's going to do some cool-ass martial arts. I wish he would have done more of that, because that seems badass.
And
he's using the Force, but he's not a Jedi. Like, more of a spirituality thing.
But I don't know. If you look at his staff, it had like the Jedi like coupler thing on the end of it. I mean, he's hung out with some Jedis in the past.
Yeah, I don't think he is a Jedi, though.
But he gets it.
He's more like a Buddhist like monk. He's like totally at one with the world and the Force.
Shaolin shadow boxing.
He's badass.
He's awesome.
I shed a little tear once again for him. His name was Cricket. What was his name? Churro.
Churro.
Chirrut. That was close. Yeah, his name was Chirrut or Chirrut.
Chirrut Imwe.
Imwe. Yeah, that's... I loved his character. And he has mentions the Force. The Force is prominent in this film, but it's more of a spiritual guidance towards the end when Jen says, may the Force be with you. It wasn't like wasn't a Jedi telling you. She's like, basically, may God look over us or protect us.
Yeah, it was like lore.
There was
like
no fucking midichlorians is what it wasn't.
Right. So they were aware that that was like the past and the old good way, but it didn't mean shit out on like the battlefield or whatever. All right. So then the temple's getting exploded and they're stealing all the crystals. We find out that Erso is on Edu and that...
you were glossing over a character that you love, by the way.
Oh.
I don't know his name. He's like this little hobbity troll looking.
No. He was
like a little teddy bear.
He was like
he looked like a gummy bear. Not the candy, but like the cartoon.
He looked like an Ewok that had like alopecia.
I was gonna say, yeah, he's a balding Ewok. He's pretty awesome looking.
He was tiny. They need to put him out in a plush animal for me to snuggle with.
They need to.
He was like fucking shit up and then he came back later. Yeah, great character.
He's dead now.
He's not on this list. They're all dead.
Yeah. Yeah, because the temple that was on Jedi. I know it was close to Jedi. Like, it would throw me off every time.
Oh, yeah. And that was the test of the Death Star. They blew it up.
They killed everyone in Jedi.
Yeah.
They're all fucking dead. Our heroes escape, of course. Barely. But everyone else is dead.
They're gone.
City's gone. They Alderaan'd them.
And that comes into play
later. Yeah, Jimmy Smith's later is like, I'm going to go to Alderaan. I'll find somebody there. And I'm like, oh, no.
You dead, motherfucker.
Oh, it's the future. Somebody has to have a time machine. Come on, this is a long, long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
They should fucking have this. Just warn and be like, dude, no.
Like, if you hyperdrive enough.
You would think so.
Superman, you should be able to.
I just wanted to warn him. Just give him some tea and be like, just stay here for a day. Maybe you shouldn't.
And that was a guy from the Clone Wars, right?
Yeah, he was the senator. That was
right.
Organa. He's the one that took in Leia after Natalie Portman ripped them out of her vagina and then died. She's pregnant again, by the way.
I did not know. That is one of your big crushes.
It is. She's so fertile. I don't know if I could do it.
I think if you impregnated her, you'd be set for life.
Probably, but she'd have this monstrosity growing in her. I don't wish that upon anyone. No one needs my demon seed.
Do you produce like huge babies, or are you talking about your huge, beautiful penis?
No. I probably just like V, where it's like comes out and it's like a lizard baby. It's probably what I'm gonna make. I don't think I'll ever have to worry about that. What are we talking about?
Well, we were talking about like going to Edu. Okay.
Yeah, they're on Edu now.
So Edu is where
Galen
is having, he's doing all of his research about these crystals which fuel the Death Star.
And also lightsabers.
Exactly. So they're accumulating all of them, and Luna, he was sent there to assassinate Erso, but he's all wrapped up in
he's
Jyn
all like,
Erso.
Oh, I need to get me some of Jyn.
Stardust.
Yeah, I need that stardust.
She's like a perfect, like, Star Wars stripper.
I just think of the wrestler. I just think of Cody Rhodes every time. Stardust. So yeah, he's like, can't kill her dad, even though I fucking hate him, and I have orders, but I need me some of that. She's totally not going to give me any. She never does.
They get
close.
They get like,
they hold
incinerated.
Hands. Yeah. We'll get there. We'll get there. It's the end of the movie. Crying out loud.
All right, so a big battle ensues, and it's really great, and it's really epic. Who's one guy with like the machine gun thing?
Baze, I think his name was. He kind of was with Chocobo.
Truett Imwe.
Yeah, he was with him. He was kind of like his, not guidance, but like protector, I would imagine.
Right, yeah. They ran it together. They were the guardians of the
galaxy.
Temple. I've never seen Guardians of
you
the
Galaxy.
You
need to. We watched a trailer for it. It looked really good. I forget what the other trailer was. Or did we only get one trailer?
I think that was it.
I think it was just Guardians of the Galaxy. If there was another one, it sucked because I don't remember it, so fuck it.
So they're on Edu, and they're going to go, like, the one Nazi guy gets shot. I thought he was dead.
Oh, Cricket?
Cricket.
You're just gonna have to go with these names. Kirkland, Timberland,
Orson.
His name's Orson Karolinko.
K-k-k-k-k-k-k.
Yeah, I don't know that dude. He has a cool. He's kind of pimping.
He's not cool. He's a fucking Nazi.
I like
Kyle.
His digs.
You like Nazi garb?
It looks comfortable.
How does that look comfortable at all? They're all wearing like three piece things.
A cape.
And the cape, but the hats are cool. Why are they? Are they selling those hats somewhere?
They need
look
to
look that up.
Yeah.
Somebody send this podcast
hats.
Three hats. We need three hats.
Just need nothing but Empire hats.
No, that guy's name Krennic.
Cricket, whatever, same thing.
No, you're confusing the audience because you've called the blind Asian kung fu master Cricket.
Oh, did I?
And then
everybody's Cricket.
Lay off the Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
Sure.
So then, yeah, so Cricket shows up on Edu, and then he wants to kill Cricket, but Cricket and Cricket go down to save him.
It's very confusing, but the big thing about this is that Galen and Jyn are reunited. She's like, you're my papa. And he's like, I'm dying.
He's like, oh, Stardust. Bleh.
He's like, I'll tell you all the truth. And then dude's dead. And they just leave him there. Like, haven't seen my dad in
well, she tries 15, not
16
to.
Years.
But
and
then
Luna comes in. He says, we got to go.
You keep calling him Luna. That's his real
go.
Name.
We got to go. We got to go.
I don't know what confuses people. She's like, but Papa. Papa. And he's like, fucking dead, dude. So yeah, her 15 years, she hasn't seen her dad. She sees him in a hologram. And she's like, Papa. And he's like, bleh. And he just dies. Poor girl. This is where I think she's the opposite of Rey, is she doesn't have, like, smooth sailing through everything.
Right.
Even at the end, like, after the battle, she's, like, limping and dragging herself. This mm-hmm. girl's been through some shit.
She's just been beat up a little bit.
She's not a badass, really. She's just not giving up.
Here's what I don't understand about this movie.
Rebellions are built on hope, Art.
We'll get into the whole hope theme here in a minute. But that, all right, she's got this crystal.
Mm-hmm.
She knows all about the Force.
I don't think she knows about the Force, really.
She knows that it exists. Was Galen her father? Did he have the Force?
I don't think so.
So why did she have that crystal?
Because her mom gave it to her. That's all she had left of her family. You know, she watched her mom get shot and then her dad taken away and she hadn't seen him. That's all she had left was that necklace. So that's why.
So really the crystal is about it being now, instead of a sacred part of each star, because the best stars have those, right?
Yes.
That it's more becoming a commodity to fuel war.
War machine. Energy, yeah, they're harnessing the power of them.
With all of that, like compared to the previous movie, she doesn't have the force. So she's going to get fucked up.
And she does. I wonder if she survives.
We will have to wait and see. Tune in next time. No, they all fucking die. She dies.
Yeah. All of our heroes die in this movie. All
right. So where are we now?
We are still in Edu. Oh, Dad's dead. They leave. Yeah, so they're
off of Edu.
And then they go to Tom Skerritt. Where was it? Scorpio?
Skerritt. I think it was Skerritt. Called Skerritt. It was called Skerritt.
See? Or Sarkit. Sarlet. I think it's Skerritt, which is like...
Scarlett Johansson.
Fancy town. It's where they keep like every fucking blueprint ever.
And this is when it turned like into a spy movie.
But no,
like,
this is just when like, the action fucking hit.
Right, but it's like...
And it didn't slow down.
We keep all of our records in one centralized location, which the whole entire atmosphere of the planet is protected by one gate.
It's the Spaceballs bubble shield. I wish they would have turned into a mega maid to pull all the oxygen out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they got that from
Scarif.
Scarif, whatever. Tom Skerritt. That was close.
So
why the fuck do I remember who Tom Skerritt is?
Why were they going there, Kyle?
They were going there to get the blueprints for the Death Star.
Right, and knew that they were there. And this kind of unifies some of the rebels. An original group goes out that's got all of our heroes and heroines on the ship. But then when they realize, the other rebels realize what's going on, that's when Admiral
Radish
is like, we're on this, we're hyperdriving, boom, they all show up. And this is when the space opera, the climax, is reaching out.
Oh, it gets crazy. Like, crazy good. So many different set pieces going on. And
Skerritt was so beautiful, because everything we'd seen before, like, looked like Mordor, or it looked like a rainy shit place, or it looked like a dusty, like the temple, like Jeddah was cool. But this was like a tropical island planet that had all the knowledge of all of the Nazi douchebags on it.
Yeah, and there was a lot of clever little things. Like when they were trying to make it seem like there's more people. So they kept radioing in like, oh, we're from Landing Pad 5.
And it just kind of shows, like, it kind of harkens back to the American Revolution kind of thing of fighting the British Empire, where it was like, hide in the trees to make yourselves look like more shots coming from different directions.
Mm-hmm.
Doing a lot with little resources. But what was funny was like when they're getting off of the ship on that planet, and they're like, what's the plan? Well, we're just going to go from one situation to the next, and if we got one chance, and if that chance goes for us, then we get another chance, you know. And I was like, what? And then here comes in Luna's character, and he's like, this is what the actual plan is, you're gonna do this.
Yeah, she gave that general, she gave that motivational, like, we're gonna go out there and we're gonna play hard,
we're gonna get them,
and if we're not the best at the end, then we'll know that we tried. Yeah, all in. She's like,
and then everybody looks around and they look at what was Luna's name,
Cass.
Crispin
Glover? I think it's Cassian. I'm pretty sure.
You remember my Crispin Glover haircut?
Yeah. You kind of have one going right now. I think his name was Cassian.
Yeah, Cassian. So Cassian puts it all together and they go into this. And that was like they're in disguise, incognito. And that harkened back to the original film.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Oh, yeah.
Because it was kind of like a little slapstick humor mixed in.
Like, it's convenient that the clothes of the people they attack fit them perfectly.
Right.
And then nobody recognized them.
Very true.
I just wanted Chewbacca. There. There's no Wookiees.
No, there was one Wookiee.
Well, there was
a, there was, oh, a, yeah, Wookiee in an air fight, and he goes, yeah. I can't do it.
That was your Wookiee? No, I think that's good. That's a good Wookiee. He looked like one of the Wookiees from the holiday special, though.
Right. He was a younger Wookiee, for sure.
Yeah. If they're on the ships, they're still alive. I think he's still alive.
Right.
Everybody on that fucking planet of Tom Skerritt, though.
Oh, dude. We forgot to tell you who we saw. when the Rebel Alliance says, get your ships there, who do we see, Kyle?
Yeah, and then C-3PO looks at R2-D2 and he's like, they don't tell us shit. I'm paraphrasing.
Ding.
Yeah, it's cool to see C-3PO. I wondered if they were going to do some, it wouldn't have fit at all, but they were doing the fighter pilots. And they're like, yeah, we're checking in. I think it was Biggs, by the way. You kept thinking of Porkins. I'm pretty sure Porkins was from, not actually from Star Wars. Wasn't it a joke?
No, I'm pretty sure he was in actual Star Wars. Look it up on your computers, people.
So I thought maybe
Porkins?
I think it was Porkins, wasn't it?
Yeah, Porkins, Star Wars.
Okay, so I thought we'd see Porkins or Biggs. Or I was like, if they really fuck this up, we're going to see Luke fly. And they'll be like, no.
And some of those cutaways in that battle were from... They made him look grainy like the original ones. Did you notice that?
Yeah. Well, I think some of the, like the text and stuff on screen, I noticed at the beginning when they were the focus, they were really pulling the focus. This movie, we saw this in 2D. They really, I think, wanted you to see it in 3D.
Which I wasn't going
to
do.
No, I wasn't either. But, you know, like the text on the screen had like that fuzziness slightly to it. We weren't going to see it in 3D. We like ourselves. It's not worth the extra money. And the
Porkins
headache.
Was hit by enemy turbo laser fire and killed.
No, he was still alive at this time, though.
Right, so why wasn't he there?
Well, he was all fighting the fight with Luke and them. Or not yet. Who knows what he was doing? He was just like...
Jack Tono Porkins.
He was just fucking around, I guess. He's just like eating a sausage.
Well, he's like a trader. Like, he did trades. Like... Oh, God. We're going to get so much flack from the hardcore people.
Fuck them.
Contact Lincoln Hall at whatever nursing home he's ended up in.
Oh, that's so sad. So, yeah, big battle. They have to, like, realign. Since, it, like, they have to jump in and climb and get the thing, it reminded me of Mission Impossible.
Right.
And then she has to, like, climb to the top and realign this satellite dish. And it was amazing, but I kept thinking, this is such a good video game level. If they make a game of this, like, this is perfect.
Transmit the data. And where are we at, Kyle? She finds the data for the Death Star, which is named after her in a file called Stardust.
Stardust, yep. They find it. She transmits it. They Death Star fucking Scarif.
And she's on the beach with Gassian.
And they just die. This is after the blind dude and his bodyguard. They're dead. Everyone's dead.
Probably that little guy that I really like that needs to be a plush animal.
Oh, he fucking got blown up on Jedha, dude.
Disney, please do that.
So it's a really somber ending.
But like an opera, all right, we go through the climax and there's always the secondary climax. I was expecting it. So everybody's dead, but the Rebel forces have succeeded.
It leads into the Vader going after Leia.
Holy shit. Darth fucking Vader shows up. It was the second time that we saw him. It was another, like, earlier in the movie, we saw Darth Vader with no arms before he goes into the
little suit. Yeah, we saw him in his egg.
He shows up, like, hyperdrives, slams into...
I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. And he's like, what the fuck? They fucked all that shit up. He doesn't say a word
the whole
entire time.
He knows what they've done because it's fucking Vader.
So he shows up on a Rebel, what would you call that, a destroyer?
Sure. Rebel ship.
And he's on there and he's like forcing the fuck out of people. And that's when we see our first lightsaber of the whole entire movie, which was in the last, like, what, 3 minutes? And he's just like air choking motherfuckers, slamming to the ground, putting people on the ceiling. And then he's like, pshoom, 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 killing all these people, but like through this tiny little crack in the gate,
which I kept thinking, like, just throw it through the crack. Was that the only one? Like,
oh,
the whole time?
I was seeing that the whole entire time.
Like, the door's fucking open. You just have this little disc. Just bang, throw it through the door. But
like,
you
that.
Know, they had to set up the cool.
So that was
the
second
tension.
Climax. And
this is our epilogue.
So, well, I would call it an envoy.
An envoy?
Poetry world.
Okay. Gee, fancy dance. Because
it's sending the little book of poetry that we had just had onto another world, another epoch.
Yeah, it's needed to tie it into to New Hope.
So blow my mind right now, Kyle. Tell me how they tied all this together. Where the holes were completely filled with one actress who is not the age that she was.
Oh, she's not even in this movie, actually?
Yeah.
Carrie Fisher?
Carrie Fisher shows up.
They get the data that was transmitted from Scarif and give it to Leia, who they CGI'd a young Leia face onto, which I could have done without the CGI Leia face, because her mouth moved all weird.
Well, they CGI'd the other original guy from A New Hope that was fucking dead. You notice that? Jeff was the one that noticed that.
Yeah. I think that one looked better, though, than hers did. Maybe it's because they didn't, like, zoom in on him. And here are some dead people in this movie.
How do they get paid for that?
They don't.
Surely somebody...
I would imagine paid. Family and estate... Somewhere, yeah. Carrie Fisher's not dead. I mean, on the inside, she is. She's been dead on the inside for years, but she's still around. I almost wonder, like, I kept thinking, are they going to do the cop out and she just doesn't turn around? You just hear her voice, which I honestly think would have been
better.
I mean, the last shot of the movie is her. I keep thinking of Tron Legacy where they did it. This is better. They've come a long way since Tron Legacy, which wasn't that long ago. But I almost feel that the movie didn't need that scene. I get they did it to tie it into Episode 4. Anybody that was there has seen the original Star Wars.
I think maybe to reach another audience to make it more continuity, because it is confusing. It confuses the fuck out of me. So I think for other people to get them into Star Wars, we're going back to Jar Jar.
We're going back to Jar Jar. No.
Why did Jar Jar exist in the first place?
Because George Lucas is a fucking idiot that lost his mind and he doesn't know shit about shit.
I think they were trying to get new generations into it. Now those generations are into it and they might be a little confused because Jar Jar was the only Star Wars that
stop saying Jar Jar.
Jar Jar.
Stop saying Jar Jar.
Binks, motherfucker.
Well, they had K2SO until he fucking died.
Oh, he sacrifices himself.
Well, they all do. To me, that's where that would have been a really powerful ending. Is them, holding hands on a beach because they know they've succeeded in their goal.
But they're going to die anyway.
They've sacrificed their lives for the greater good.
If they would only have known what would transpire.
Well, I'm sure they probably will because it came out years before. It's just a movie, Joe. I mean, come on.
That their hope is anew.
I'm with you. I'm surprised they never said A New Hope.
They said the phrase like...
They said hope a lot.
You have to have hope.
Rebellions are built on hope. No, you're only doing this because of hope.
And I turned to you and I was like, they're going to say it. They're going to say
it. They never did.
They never did.
They do say Rogue One.
They blueballed me, Kyle.
They did. They really did. I was surprised, you know, and they did throw in Jen saying, may the force be with you, because you need those catchphrases for people to be like, yeah, they did it.
Let me buy shit.
Yeah, so we need to be able to sell t-shirts to say, may the force be with you still.
Let me buy a Jar Jar Binks shirt.
Fuck, no.
Fuck you, Kyle. I'm going to say it again. This is me impersonating Lincoln right now.
I won't.
Fuck you, Kyle.
Oh, God, no, don't do it. I think it would have been very impactful if that's how it ended. If you hadn't seen him, you'd just be like, what the fuck? What was the point of that? What came of that? Blah,
right,
blah, blah.
Right.
But for people that have, it's like, I get it. Because I know what happens next. And it's a very depressing... As far as Star Wars movies go, this is really a downer.
It's a downer movie because everybody's fucking dead.
But you get attached to these characters. I've heard complaints that Felicity Jones didn't do that good of a job. I thought she did. I liked her as Jyn.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She was great.
Especially, like, at first she was really dry until the scene where she was seeing her dad's hologram and trying not to cry.
Right. And then when she's at, like,
there's
the
a
rebel,
weakness there.
And she's at the rebel place, she's like, well, you guys can either like act upon it now or do nothing, and she became kind of a leader, you know.
Yeah, I like Rey from Force Awakens, but I do agree that she's just good at everything. There's no downfalls. Jyn shows weakness.
And you like her better because of that?
I like them both. No, I like Daisy Ridley. I think she's a good actress. And Rey, we're going to see a progression with Rey. Whereas Jyn, Jyn's
dead.
This is all we got of her.
Unless they make a prequel.
Well, they did.
It's
called...
prequel within the sequel. Now, there's room for another movie there because they left all those plot holes of what she was doing with Che Guevara or whatever his name was. For 16 years.
That's true. Yeah. I don't think they will because they're going
to
do a...
How far back in time do we have to go to get to Jar Jar?
A long, long time ago. In a galaxy far, far away.
Well played.
We'll never go back to fucking Jar Jar. Jar Jar's dead.
I would throw stuff at him, but this stuff is too expensive and I want to break it.
Yeah, please don't break my stuff. You borrow this stuff.
So I think once Lincoln gets out of his coma, he'll probably see the movie and I think we should make him do just him doing the lore and stuff that he likes to do.
I think we should get him and Mercedes to do a second episode.
To do that. Second. Well,
no promises on that. But.
So a little, you might have a little follow up. I understand that.
We don't know what the fuck we're talking about.
We don't
know anything about Churro and Cricket's battles.
Churros,
and their
Cricket's,
backstories.
Che Guevara. Like, Cuba is a dangerous place.
Forrest
Whitaker's eye. And Jim Jarmusch. Like, where does he come in? Like, where's the Wu-Tang Clan?
Forrest Whitaker, his character, though, would be a good lookout. You know? Oh, God. I make fun of Forrest Whitaker too much.
He's a great actor.
I love him, but he's like Columbo, you know? You can't unsee it. You got to just run with it. So, overall, what would you give Rogue One?
Well, let's see here. I give it an 8.2. It held my attention. It was a little bit of a downer.
Which I liked the downerness of it.
Within a Star Wars experience, because we all know what my favorite Star Wars is.
Do we?
Take a guess.
One with Jar Jar. I'm sure. If it's Phantom Menace, you can get the fuck out of here right now.
All right, I'm leaving.
Is it really Phantom Menace? You're not caught.
Did you hear the sound?
I can see you.
I like it.
In all fairness, though, you had not seen them until you watched them all, episode 1 through 6, right?
Well, I had seen, like, the Ewok holiday thing. Oh, I was very sheltered growing up, in a way.
So, I mean, I can get it if... Because I grew up with 4, 5, and 6 and then went back. They weren't 4, 5, and 6 then, obviously.
Right. In the Star Wars realm of things, I would rate this one pretty highly because it kind of goes against the triumphant ending. Because, well, we knew where we were going the whole entire time with episode 4.
Yeah.
But I think the way that they did it was that the story had to be told of the death and destruction that the Empire is doing to the whole entire galaxy that makes the Rebel Force stronger. Because what we see here is that setup that the Rebels are all, you know, spread out. Nobody's agreeing on what they're supposed to be doing or what they want to do. And I think that the events of seeing the Death Star and then here later on with Jimmy Smits getting annihilated on Alderaan.
Poor bastard.
That I think it kind of sets the scene for that unifying, like, triumphant shit that we see in 4.
Yeah, because...
You know what I mean?
Jen and her group basically rebelling against the rebellion because they were like, no, we're not going there. Fuck you. We don't trust you. Then another group of rebels went, we trust you, and they went. I think,
what was it? Commander Radish? What was his actual title? Colonel?
Was he an admiral? He might have been another
Space
admiral.
Space Admiral
He was like
Radish.
Fat Akbar. He's like Boss Nass and Akbar had a baby. And he sat in the worst designed fucking cockpit of a ship ever.
But he could see down, like the whole. I like that.
There's,
like, he could see
he's
down.
Just surrounded by a glass bowl. Do you know how hard it would be to, like?
It was tempered glass.
Tempered glass in space.
Oh,
the one little bitty penis ship was able to push the giant.
We didn't even talk about the hammerhead, and that was the best part of the movie because
it looked like a cock, didn't it?
It looked like a big dick, and it took the huge destroyer imperial thing and basically made it slice off the other ship,
which made them grow through the ring.
Go through the ring. It was very sexual. There was a lot of penises bumping penis-looking things that went and eventually. Eventually, another penis slid into the ring vagina, Kyle, and penetrated the atmosphere of the planet. Impregnation.
Here's my question about the ring. The ring controlled the shield around the planet.
It was like a Nova ring. It's like designed to, like, not.
Why didn't they just shoot the ring?
They tried. They were shooting the ring for like 10 minutes on screen. And like the one lady pilot was like, damn, that thing, you can't get through. How much more can it take? Which was like an overtly sexual thing.
It was just this giant ship. And then they
that
ruined
Spaceballs.
That whole thing
was like getting into, like, and through the barriers into the planet. That was very much so like sexual imagery.
Was
I
it?
Imagine.
I think it was to give them a thing.
Probing. They kept calling it probe. We got to probe the shield. We got to probe
they
the
never
shield.
Said probe.
They did. They said probe. Look it up.
The way
Tommy's
I,
wrong.
The way that I took the shield was they were trapped. They knew when it closed. They were trapped. Do they continue with what they're doing? When
they
it's
did
a,
it anyways.
It's a suicide mission at that point.
Right.
They did it anyways.
They did it anyways. And some of them might have gotten off. I don't know.
Probably not. They're all dead.
At this point in time, they're probably all dead.
Unfortunately, because I did like the characters.
Or they're slightly concussed on their way to a long recovery, but still pretty much dead.
It
like
felt
Lincoln.
Shorter to me than a normal Star Wars movie.
But how long was it? It was pretty long.
It was about 2 hours. A little over 2. I think it's because because the last act and a half, at least, is action.
Action.
So it does start slow, if I had any complaint. It starts slow, and they throw a lot at you. I mean, you're getting like 2 minutes on each planet. A lot of characters, a lot of names, some accents that were hard to understand at the moment.
And I like that they're using all the different accents.
Yeah.
As compared to the originals, where everybody... Oh, just speaks American English, except for two.
Yeah, there's
people
a there's a lot of
machines.
There's like the pilot that looked like sickly Roman Reigns. He had kind of an accent. Just trust me on this. He looks like Roman Reigns.
There's Diego Luna.
Yeah,
which couldn't figure out what he was saying at all.
No,
it was his mustache though.
Yeah, at the beginning it was really hard when he was in the alley talking to that guy. I'm like, I don't know what he's saying.
Right.
I'm like, oh my god, am I gonna have to sit through a movie with this guy? It's one of those you get it. He wasn't turtle blood, but
so what would you give the movie? You asked me.
I would give it a solid 8.5 right now.
8.5?
I think on a second viewing. I want to like temper my...
Is there a Star Wars that
I didn't
you
go
would
in...
give a solid 10 to?
Ooh. If I were to give...
Other than The Phantom Menace, because we've already talked
If
about
I were to give a 10 to 1, it would be Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
To me, that's the strongest one. I know people will disagree. I think it's the strongest story.
Well, obviously people are going to disagree.
Yeah. I mean, some people like Return of the Jedi the best.
You should see the face he just made.
It was a good face.
Send him hate.
You can't. I'm just making fun of Lincoln. It's his favorite. I like them all.
Yeah, that's who I'm talking about.
I don't really care for the new trilogy that much.
Right.
But that's some character choices and the midichlorian, just some story elements.
So what comes next?
I was glad in Rogue One that they didn't do it. Next is Episode 8. That's with Rey. That's furthering Rey and Finn's story.
So is that Christmas 2018?
I'm pretty sure it
17.
Is. Yeah, 17.
I'm
pretty sure it comes out next year. And then they're doing a Han Solo standalone movie. I don't know if they're still doing a Boba Fett standalone movie. It's Disney now. They're going to fucking milk this dry.
Oh, yeah, and they'll make a lot of money out of it.
But if they keep making just good stories. Up until, I mean, a lot of this movie doesn't feel like Star Wars.
Until the end when...
When you're getting all the set... I mean, you see stormtroopers throughout the whole movie, but I think because the score is different. The score isn't even done by John Williams in this. They use his song at the end, but it's Michael Giacchino, the guy that did the music for Lost and a bunch of other big things. He did the score for this. So
right.
Just even sound, it didn't have the star wipes and stuff. So it's much different than every Star Wars movie we've seen. But then you start getting the at-ats, and I'm like, yeah, this is fucking Star Wars now.
Yeah.
Vader's kicking some ass at the end, which was awesome.
The Vader at the end made me feel very uncomfortable.
Why?
It was very violent.
Yeah, it's fucking Vader.
And evil.
He is evil.
We'll just have to see how it turns out in Episode 4.
I wonder when that comes out.